John 15, verses 9 to 17. As Colin said, we're going to read the passage first, and I'll pray, and then we'll dismiss the children, just so that everybody can at least hear the scripture for today. So, Jesus says, starting in John 15, verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for calling us your friends and for appointing us and choosing us to go and bear fruit that will last in your name. We thank you for the joy that you give us and the life that you gave to save us, for the love that you constantly pour into our hearts. We ask now that you would take your words and apply them to our hearts, Lord, and help us to understand, but more than that, I pray that you would give us the strength to keep your command to love as you have loved us. We ask all this in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Okay, the children can be dismissed now for Sunday Club and creche. I think there's a kind of a paradox in life, that a lot of times the best way to do something really well is not to think too much about that thing. For example, like if you're in a new situation and maybe you're meeting new people, you want to make a really good impression on them. Well, the best way to make a really good impression is not to be super stressed out and wound up and wound tight about making a good impression. Actually, you'll make a much better impression on them if you're relaxed and focused on other things, like genuinely focusing on them and what's going on. Focusing on the other people instead of just obsessing over how you look yourself. And the same can be true in the work that we do as well. If you want to develop good skills, you have to think about the skill and you have to work on the skill, definitely. But really, you'll often do your very best work when you're looking beyond the skill itself and focusing on the larger picture, the bigger picture of what you're really accomplishing with that skill. The end goal, the good result that it will bring. And then that skill begins to take on a new meaning. It's not just something you are doing for itself. It's something that is part of something much bigger. It is leading to a bigger purpose. The paradox is that often the best thing you can do for yourself is to look out beyond yourself rather than just constantly looking in. Last Sunday, we began at John 15. We saw in the first 8 verses where Jesus speaks of himself as the vine and us as the branches, that we have to draw our life and our strength and everything from him. And his command there was that we remain in him, basically just that we stay close to him, and that's how we bear fruit, and that's how we receive the life that he gives. We depend on him. He spoke in verse 7 about us letting his word remain in him, in us, and coming to him in prayer, asking for whatever we need from him, and that he would give whatever we need to bear this fruit. God's word and prayer are essential to staying close to Jesus. But notice that this means that our focus is not just on us. It has to be on Jesus, because he's the one that is providing for us. So we've got to look beyond ourselves to the one that is actually giving to us, beyond the branch into the vine. He's the one we depend on. He's the one who enables this good fruit in our life. But in today's passage, Jesus shows us that the fruit that he grows in our lives is also directed outward beyond ourselves. He talks about this command that he gives is loving others. So we receive from outside ourselves, from Jesus, and we also give outside ourselves out to others. So clearly, the Christian life is one of those paradoxes that works best when we're not actually focused too much on ourselves. What's best for us is to look beyond ourselves. So today we're going to look first at this command that Jesus gives us to look out and to love each other. He gives the command twice in this passage. And then we'll also see his provision for that command, the love that he gives to us. And finally, we'll think about how these two things go together, how Jesus' love for us bears the fruit of love in our lives, but also how bearing that fruit and loving others also helps us to remain close to him, which is what he says here. So in all of this, the focus, though, remains outward. It means beyond ourselves. And the results for us personally will be the best. It'll be far, far better than anything we would get just by focusing on ourselves alone. So first, let's look at the command to look out, to love each other. Look again at verses 9 to 12. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." He repeats the command again in verse 17. "This is my command, love each other." In this picture of the vine and the branches, Jesus shows us that the result of his life pouring into us is not just that we live, not just that we survive, or even just that we thrive, but rather that we bear fruit, which is more than just living. It's giving. It's the life we receive not only pouring into us, but also beginning to pour out of us in this fruit. And in these verses, Jesus makes it clear that the ultimate fruit of Jesus' life coming into us is love coming out of us. That's what he's pouring into us, his own love. In verses 9 and 10, you see that. And that's what starts to come out of us when we bear this fruit that will last, as he talks about in verse 16. That's why the command that Jesus gives us two times here is to love each other in verse 12 and verse 17. But notice that it is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And it's not a new command either. Jesus said the whole Old Testament law can be summed up in two commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. That all the commandments come together in those two. But if you think about it, commanding someone to love is a pretty big ask. Love is not just an action that you can just tick off a list. It's a lot more than that, although it certainly does come out in our actions. Love is not just an emotion that you can work up for a while, although it should certainly involve our emotions. It's not just some nice words that you can say. I mean, love, real love, is far deeper than all of that. It's at the core of who we are. It's what actually drives us. It's what we most deeply desire and value. It sets the course of our lives and our thoughts and our actions and everything that we are. What you love most is what you end up living for. What you love most ends up defining you. So Jesus is giving quite a big command here. He's telling us to love, and in doing that, he's telling us to set the compass of our heart so that it points outward, not into us, but out to God and to others. The world around us likes to talk about love a lot. Everybody agrees it's good to love others. Love is a great thing, but the standard message from our culture is that first you've got to love yourself. You've got to look after yourself first. And then only after you do that, then you can begin to care for others as much as you can. But if they don't love you back, and if they don't help you to fill you up and all that, then you should just get rid of them. You should cut them out. You should cancel those toxic people out of your life. That is not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus' definition of love is extremely different from the world. His definition of love that he wants us to give is the same kind of love that he gave us. And it certainly is not like the kind of love that the world talks about. Verse 12, love each other as I have loved you. So Jesus is not just telling us, okay, go out there and love people. He's showing us what he means. He's showing us what love is by giving us perfect love. He's setting the definition for love by his own actions, by the way that he loves us. And in doing this, he's also giving us the resources that we need to be able to keep this command. Because now we can actually love them out of the abundance of the love that we receive in Jesus. And that changes everything. It's very hard to give what you have not received. And that's the trouble with the world's kind of love. That's why we're told to only love the people that, you know, love us back. Because we've got to keep an eye on our own reserves. We've got to make sure we're not getting too low in ourselves. But Jesus changes the whole dynamic, because when he commands us to love, he also fills us with his own love, which makes the command then possible that we can love others out of the fullness that we have in Christ. So now we have the resources to love anyone. Jesus said, love your enemies. But didn't Jesus do the same thing? He loved us when we were his enemies. So the command is to look out and love others. But we don't just have a command here. We also have provision. So we love others. We look out to give love to others, but we also have provision. We look up and we receive from Jesus. Look again what Jesus tells us about his own love in verses 12 to 17. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. If you are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. How has Jesus loved us? He laid down his life for us, as he says he'll do in verse 13. And this really is, I mean, this is the greatest expression of love that's possible. To give everything for someone else, your whole life. That is the ultimate act of love. And that's what Jesus did for us while we were still enemies of him, living against him in sin. We weren't just innocent people trapped in trouble that we didn't make. Like someone caught in a burning building that needs to be rescued or something. No, we're actually the ones that set the fire. We're the ones that rejected the very God that made us, that tried to replace him, that broke his world and broke our own lives and the others around us with our just constant pride and selfishness and lust and greed and fighting. We see it all around. We see it in our own hearts. We made this mess. We deserve the consequences. And yet Jesus came anyway to save us. He stepped down to become one of us so that he could bear the weight of human sin and guilt on his own human shoulders. And so he could take the consequences that we deserve, dying for a sin he did not commit, so that he could defeat death for us and rise again and satisfy God's justice, offer us forgiveness and life that never ends. You're not going to find a better definition for love than that. He didn't just say, I love you. He didn't just give us a treatise on what love is. He acted it. He did it. He showed us in his actions what love actually is. In our need, he came to save us, even when it cost him his life. But the love that he gives doesn't end there. He rose again. He keeps giving. He is the vine actively. We are the branches. His life, his love flow freely into every branch that is connected to him. And it never ends. The love continues. Just look at the language here. He calls us his friends. He doesn't say, okay, I guess I'll forgive you because you need it, but you know, I don't really want you around. I don't really trust you the way you betrayed me like that. And that would be understandable, but that's not what he does. He said he laid down his life for his friends. The power of the gospel is the power of God to make his enemies into his friends. He says in verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. He's bringing us in. He's bringing us close, sharing not only his life with us, but now sharing everything he has, giving to us out of all that he's received from the Father, bringing us into his plans. He wants us to be part of what he's doing, not as servants, just taking orders, but as friends. He wants us to be close to him. He wants us to share everything he has with us. He considers us his friends. He wants us to be part of his joy in bringing his love to the world. When people say that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, I think this is what they mean. It's not a religious system of actions to make God happy with us. It's not a spiritual kind of servitude. It is friendship. It is being close. It is experiencing the love of God. And look at verse 11. He says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Jesus delights in his friends. His love is not a reluctant love. It's a joyful love. And his goal is for his children is that we also can share in this happiness, in this joy that is so radiant and glorious. And one of the ways we do this is actually by sharing in his work. The work that he finds joy in, which is the work of love. He says, you want to remain in my love and my joy? Keep my commandments. That's what he's saying here. And what are those commands? To love each other as I have loved you. So let's think finally just about how the command to love others helps us to remain close and in this freedom and love and friendship with Jesus. Or to put it another way, how giving away the love of Jesus helps us to receive from him. We've seen this command to look out and love others and the provision that Jesus gives out of us to be able to do that in his own love. But let's finish by just looking at those two directions of love, receiving from Jesus and giving to others and how they work together. Let's consider more this fruit of love. Jesus says in verse 10 to 14, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you, your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. So what is he saying? Is he threatening us like, you'd better keep my commands or I'm not going to love you. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. I mean, that's how a lot of people think about God, right? Like our status with God is a matter of performance. If we don't measure up, then he's not going to love us. But I think that approach is coming at this from the wrong way round, which is the way I just approached that sentence. Wrong way round. Jesus's love has already been given. Because remember, the command itself is love each other as I have loved you. His love is already given. He's not telling us we have to earn his love by being good enough. That would never work. And yet it's clear he is saying that obedience to Jesus' commands is not an optional thing. In the Christian life, it is essential. If we want to remain in his love, he says, the way to do that is to keep my commands. So how do we think about this obedience? I think it's helpful for us to remember that Jesus is saying this in the context of his picture of the vine and the branches. He's been showing us that all of our life and our strength and the fruit of obedience and all of it come from him. And if we really are genuinely connected to the vine receiving life from him, then that fruit will come. Remember in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So being connected, remaining in Jesus, will result in fruit. It will. But now Jesus says in verse 10 that bearing fruit will also help with the connection, with the remaining. The fruit will help us remain. He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So remaining in Jesus results in bearing fruit, but it's also true that bearing fruit will help us remain in Jesus. Keeping Jesus' command to love others helps us to stay close to the love of Jesus. See, love is not something that God gives us just to for us to be hoarding and storing it. It is made to be generously given, even as we generously receive. This is one of those paradoxes in life, that the way to learn to receive more fully of the love of Jesus is not to focus so much on what we're receiving and how much we can receive, but rather to focus on giving that same love away to others. If my relationship with God is only about me, about what I'm getting from God, and that's it. If my focus is just about making myself full, filling up my self-esteem and patching up my problems, dealing with my anxiety or whatever it is. If that's all I'm thinking about in coming to Jesus, I have completely misunderstood the love of Jesus. The gospel absolutely does address my deepest needs and problems. Yes. But it never, ever, ever stops there. It always flows out. It always flows beyond us. And it needs to do that. Think about the vine and the branches. When the vine pours life into a branch, it's not just so that the branch will get bigger and stronger and grow more leaves. Those things can happen. But Jesus says that the goal is for the branch to bear fruit. And fruit is not something that even stays on the branch. It's not really about the branch. Its purpose is to go out, to bring life and blessing beyond the branch. In other words, Jesus pours his life into his people with the purpose of that same life and that same love coming out. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to share generously with others, even as he shares generously with us. We see in verse 10 and 14, if the fruit is not coming out in obedience to his commands, then we actually have a problem. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with this correct connection, because a branch that is genuinely in the vine will bear fruit. It will. If there's no fruit, then the branch is not connected properly to the vine. Jesus says that giving his love away in obedience to his command helps us to remain in his love. If you keep these commands, you will remain in my love. So if we really want to understand and stay close to the love of Jesus, then the best way to do that is actually to give away the love of Jesus. I know that sounds maybe a bit odd, but it's completely true. When you give away Jesus' love for others, that's when you begin to see how great his love for you is. Because you'll start to understand what love really is. It's not something you can just understand by learning facts. It's something you have to actually live. You have to actually act it out to begin to understand what it is. Giving away love is it's easy to say, it's easy to talk about, but it's a lot harder to actually do. But it's not real unless it's done. Being truly committed to the good of others, even when it costs you greatly, or even when they don't respond well, even if they reject you, to still be committed to working for their good. That's really hard. To pray for someone who has wronged you, to choose not to take revenge, to absorb the cost and forgive, to work for their good, even if they don't appreciate it, even if they don't notice it. Those things are really, really hard. But this is exactly what Jesus did for us, isn't it? And you'll never begin to understand the price that he paid for you or the greatness of his love that he has for you until you start joining him in the work, the hard work of showing his love to others. It's only then that you'll begin to taste the cost of his love, but you'll also taste the joy of his love. As in verse 11, he wants us to enter into this joy, his joy. Because there's nothing in the world more satisfying and meaningful and wonderful than real love. There's a joy in it that actually cannot be found anywhere else. So unless you keep the command to love like Jesus and giving his love away, then you won't be able to taste that joy, his joy. It's just impossible. The joy comes from the giving. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It doesn't come any other way. It doesn't come by hoarding up Jesus's love for ourselves. It only comes by giving it away. Giving away the love of Jesus also helps us to learn to trust him, which helps us to stay close to him. Because if you really try to love others like Jesus loved you, it's not going to take you long to see that you really don't have the strength or the resources to do that in yourself. Love is the hardest thing in the world to really do consistently and well. Forgiveness is hard. Restoration and sacrifice, they're hard. But when we give away the love of Jesus, that's when we begin to experience the power of his strength flowing into our weakness, giving us the strength to do what we would not be able to do otherwise, to actually forgive when someone has really wronged us, to reconcile, to sacrifice for the good of others over and over and over again, to love like Jesus loved day after day. You'll never taste the strength of Jesus in your life and the faithfulness of Jesus in your life fully until you start to give like he gives, freely, generously, beyond your own resources. Because you're not loving from your resources, you're loving from his. So that means stepping out in faith and giving beyond yourself, trusting that he will fill your needs, as he promised. And guess what? He will. He will. He will give you the strength to keep his command. He will bear his fruit in your life. And he says here in verse 16, again, like he said a couple of times before recently, we've seen, ask for whatever you need. And my Father will give you whatever you need to be able to bear this fruit. He wants to give us everything we need to show his love to others. We've got to step out beyond ourselves and trust him. So this week, I am absolutely positive you will face, at some time or another, difficult choices to love others, even when you don't feel like it. Even when they hurt you. Even if they ignore you or overlook you. Or you just don't feel strong enough to just keep giving love away when you aren't getting it back. I'm sure that will happen. And it is true that you're not strong enough to keep up loving others consistently. But Jesus is. He is strong enough. And when you give his love away to others, you'll begin to experience his love for you like you never have before, more fully than ever. You'll come to know him in new ways, learning about his love by the experience of giving it. And then you'll also experience his faithfulness and how his love really is enough for you. And when you give it away, you'll also begin to taste this wonderful joy that Jesus has in giving. So this morning and this week, I want you to think of shifting your focus out, looking to Jesus, looking at his incredible love for you, how he called you his friend and gave his life for you, how he showed us the ultimate example of what love really is. Look at his love and then receive that love and then give it away. Give it to the people around you that he loves. Give it away as generously as you can because you'll never get to the end of his love for you. You'll know Jesus best when you join him in his favorite work of giving his love away. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us your friends, that you have loved us so perfectly and so fully that you were even willing to give your life for us. Greater love has no one than this. Lord, we recognize that we depend fully on you, on your love and your life and your strength to be able to keep this command that you've given us, to genuinely and truly from our hearts show your love to others. We recognize, Lord, the greatness of your love that you gave to us even when we were turned away from you and rejected you, and yet you gave anyway. And we pray, Lord, for the strength to do the same for others, however they respond. And that you, Lord, would be glorified in this, that we bear your fruit, the fruit of your love. Be lifted up and be honored in it, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just close us with a benediction that God gave to his people. He said, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. Be gracious to you and give you peace." Amen.